I'm excited about our study tonight. I'm going to summarize a little bit of where we have been in chapter 5. In the book as a whole, it's a very simple outline. Justification by faith defended, justification by faith explained, and justification by faith applied. And when we say justified by faith, we are declared righteous because of our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We cannot earn our salvation, and we do not have to earn our salvation. It is a free gift that comes through repentance and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is a beautiful, beautiful thing. When we get to chapter 5, we began talking about justification by faith applied. You know, taking that head knowledge and then doing something with it. All right, have you ever heard the phrase book smart? They're book smart. Someone that is like maybe really good at tests and turning in dioramas or whatever they call them and that type of thing. But when it comes to street smart, actually knowing what to do and how to do it, maybe they're not so much. Well, here we have the book knowledge. It's been crammed into our brain over and over again through the book of Galatians. And now Paul is saying, this is what you do with it. This is what you do with it. You apply it. And so I know the other teachers didn't quite describe it like this, but essentially, Paul first looks at how justification brings freedom. And you're like, freedom, that's a good thing. We are slaves to our sin. We were dead in our sin. We were captive to our sin, our own selfishness. But justification brings freedom. And then in verse 7, we see that justification brings discernment. In verse 7, it says, you were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? Something went wrong, right? You didn't discern. You didn't tell. The people came in and they tricked you and they deceived you. No, this persuasion did not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump of dough. So he talks to them about how your new life in Christ, your justification by faith, should bring discernment so you can tell what is right and what is wrong. And then we have been, for the last couple of lessons, we have been looking at how justification brings the fruit of the Spirit. And you're like, oh, I get that one. I know this. I remember the whole fruit of the Spirit thing. And we looked at, first of all, the summation of our calling. You know, the summary of it. Look at verse 13. For you were called to freedom. So God calls us, and God draws us unto himself through the Holy Spirit. But why did he do it? It says, to freedom, brethren, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. So why did God save us, and what in the world are we supposed to do now? Well, one word, love. He didn't save us just so we can go off and do whatever we want, whenever we want. Our freedom is being a slave to Christ, and we are a slave to loving others. Verse 14, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And you took the lesson, and you applied it, right? And because you love Jesus, you have been loving your mom and dad more. And you have been loving the other people in the youth group, right? And you've been loving your teammates and your classmates and your siblings who you also love to love. You've been doing it. You have been putting aside self and you've been serving them because that is what our freedom in Christ now is. And when we do that, we are living the life that our Creator wants us to live. And He blesses that. And we have peace and comfort and joy because we're doing what God made us to do. So instead of being selfish these past few days, we have been unselfish and we've been loving other people, right? We've applied it. The negative of this is verse 15, but if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. He's writing to churches. And he's like, look, it's like you're biting each other and you're just consuming each other with your greed and with your covetousness and your jealousy. No, this should be a place of love, place of love. That's what we should do. When we look at our section for today, I want to ask you a very simple question. Has anyone ever offered you a solution, but you ignored them? It could be like maybe a doctor. A doctor tells you something, and you're like, well, doctor, you went to doctor school for many, many years, and you're very smart, but I know better than you. That's not very smart. Or sometimes your parents give you advice. You should do this, and you're like, nah, old person, I'm not doing that. And then it could be a friend gives you some advice, or they give you a solution, or you could do this. And sometimes we don't want to listen because we're hard-headed, and we're prideful, and we want to do things our own way. Well, I want you to think that Paul is now going to give them the solution to our condition. He's going to tell them exactly what to do. Because you see, we are free in Christ because of what he did on the cross. But we are called to love, and as we are called to love, sometimes we don't do it. And that is called sin. And that's a problem, right? You see that when you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are positionally sanctified. You were in the domain of darkness, but you are transferred to the realm of light. So you are different, right? Old things passed away, new things have come. You now have the Holy Spirit, he indwells you. But we also are progressively being sanctified. Year after year, day after day, month after month, we are striving to be more like Jesus, but are we just like Jesus yet? No, because we still sin. We still say bad things, and sometimes we say hurtful things, and sometimes, you know, we're lazy. We will not be perfect until when? Heaven. And that is called what? Starts with a G. Goody, good, good. No, not goody, good, good.
Goodness.
Yay, not quite. Piper? No, not grace. Glorification. All right? When we are in heaven, heaven's going to be amazing, okay? I can't go into all the details because I don't know everything. But I do know there's no sorrow. Sign me up. There's no pain. Yes. No hunger. Woohoo. And there's no sin. There's no sin. But why is there no sin? Because God won't let sinners into his kingdom. Only those that have been redeemed. But our sin is done away with. Can you imagine how awesome that is? To hang out with a bunch of people and never sin and never be tempted to sin? We are glorified. But are we there yet? No, we're still here on this earth. So we struggle with what the Bible calls our flesh. Our unredeemed humanness, right? I have died to sin. I have been raised in Christ. I have been washed and renewed. I have received the Holy Spirit. Yet sometimes I still yearn for the bad thing. Well, there's a solution to this, and it is to walk by the Spirit. To walk by the Spirit. And for those of you that really love Jesus, you're going to go, yeah, I want to do that. I want to do that. But for those of you that are faking it, for those of you that don't really love Jesus, you're not going to do this because you don't have the Spirit, so you cannot walk by the Spirit. First of all, we will see a command that results in a promise. A command that results in his promise. What is the command? But I say, walk by the Spirit. He reminds them that they need to love, and that it's wrong to bite and devour. And instead of biting and devouring people, you should walk by the Spirit. Walking is a pattern of life, okay? So your pattern of life should be in accordance with the Spirit. And you ask the question, okay, sounds good to me. How do I do this? How do I do this? Well, I want you to go to Ephesians, which you're like, I can do that. Because remember, it's go, eat, popcorn, Galatians, Ephesians. So it's just one book to the right. One book to the right. And there is a very vivid word picture that helps us understand what he's talking about. Let's look at verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Okay, let's understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. All right, how many of y'all came to church on Resurrection Sunday? All right, good. How many of y'all went to second service? You're like, that was so long ago. Second service people. Did any of you try to show up late to second service? Okay, you know what happened to those who showed up late to second service? They had to go to the overflow. Why? Because the sanctuary was filled. And when you tried to go in, the ushers were like, whoa, bro, we're filled. They didn't say bro, but they might have. You have to go to the overflow. And they're like, I got to go to the overflow. Man, why not? Why can't I get in? No, it's full. It is full. There's no more seats. All right? The Milton showed up and they took 2/3 of the seats. It is. I want you to think of your life where the Spirit is filling you and there's not any room for anything else. There's no room for a wicked thought to pop in your brain because you're so full of the Spirit. There's no thought of jealousy because you're just so controlled and filled with the Spirit. That's what we're talking about here. And the picture he gives, he says, do not get drunk with wine, but instead be full of the Spirit. Well, why does he say that? Well, if you drink alcohol to excess, it alters your thought process and it can warp your perceptions. And you are no longer in control of your own faculties. You are controlled by the alcohol. But no, we don't want that. We want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. And look at the outpouring of this. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, what happens in verse 19? Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns. Now, I'm not saying it's like a musical. Hey, how are you doing? To each other. It's not saying that. But clearly, when you come here, you should be singing. All right, I heard the girls. It was great. The guys, maybe you're mumbling a little bit. Well, let's enunciate a little bit more. But an outpouring is we want to sing praises. We're so full of the Spirit that it's got to go out somewhere, and we're going to praise out. Singing, making melody with your heart to the Lord. But then always giving thanks. For all things in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father, and be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. You see, when you are so filled up with the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit, when you allow Him to control you and have that influence in your life, this is the outpouring of it. And we get to the fruit of the Spirit in our passage coming up, right? If you are filled with the Spirit, then you're a tree. And the little fruit is popping out of you. And the good fruit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, self-control. It's just boom. It's coming out. That's how we do this. That's how we do this, all right? How do I get filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, we'll talk a little bit about that later. All right, we'll talk about that later. But this command comes with a promise. How many of you believe God? Okay, it's a little slow on that. Next time, yeah, I do. All right? Do you believe that God will never flood the earth again? Yeah, because he told you that, right? Do you believe that God has a place called heaven for you one day? Yeah, because he's promised you that. He promises you that if you will walk by the Spirit, you're not going to sin. You will not carry out, you will not perform the deeds of the flesh, the desire of the flesh, the evil lust and the cravings of the flesh. And you say, yeah, but Justin, I still sin. Yeah, I do too. When my mind is on me and when I'm thinking selfishly, then yeah, I choose sin even though I love Jesus. But when I am walking with the Lord and walking by the Spirit, then I do not carry out the desire of the flesh. And I guess my question is, do you want that? Is that what you want? Of all things this day, do you want it more than money? Do you want it more than popularity? Do you want this? And God is promising that he's going to give it to you. And all you got to do is follow and walk by the Spirit. But what about the unbeliever? I want you to turn to Romans 3 real quick. In a group this size, it's most likely that there's some of you that are playing the game. Maybe you have told people you love Jesus. Maybe you know you don't love Jesus, but you still tell people that. Remember, the unbeliever does not have the Holy Spirit. So this is what the unbeliever looks like in Romans 3:10. There is none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. Okay, unbeliever, let's be honest. You know what you are? You are useless. 100% useless. God created you. And why did he create you? To glorify him and to enjoy him. But instead, you have rejected him and you have wallowed in your sin like a pig in the mud, and you are flat out 100% useless. That's who you are. That's who you are. If you'll turn to Jesus, he'll rescue you and he'll make you useful. He says in verse 12, all have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave, and with their tongues they keep deceiving. The poison of asps is under their lips. So unbeliever, not only are you useless, you are a deceiver. And you are a viper who bites and spreads venom and destruction. Verse 14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their paths, and the path of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So if you have never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ, this is you. You are the bad tree bearing bad fruit. And you will be cut down and thrown into the lake of fire. Unless you repent and believe in Jesus. And when you do that, you are washed and cleansed and renewed, and you're now a good tree. And you have the Holy Spirit producing fruit in your life. So that's a command that results in a promise. And now this command is not, it's not optional. Some of the commands your parents give you, you think they're optional. They're not. God here, through Paul, is giving a command, and it is not optional. Well, let's look at a reality that reinforces the premise. A reality that reinforces the premise. And some of you are like, well, Justin, you spelt promise wrong. You put premise. I'll explain what premise is later. Let's look at the reality. Okay, go back to Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh sets itself against the spirit. And the spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. I love that word sets. Okay? It's a desire against, or a rise in protest against. You see, the Holy Spirit and the flesh don't like each other. It's, all right? They fight like cats and dogs. They are against one another. And we have the Holy Spirit, and we still have the flesh, and this battle is raging on within us. And the idea of sets is it hates it so much that they're going to rise up and protest against. Now, I've made fun of cauliflower a lot, okay? Some of you have taken exception to that, and I'm sorry that you do like cauliflower, all right? But I don't set myself against cauliflower. And I could pick asparagus or lima beans or any of those other gross things, okay, that you shouldn't eat, but you know what, you might like them. But I don't make a picket sign and go to the grocery store and say, no more lima beans, no more lima. I don't care that much. Eat your lima bean. Just don't put it in my mouth, okay? This idea is two enemies locked in combat with one another. That's what should be happening in you. Because you side with the Spirit, so you hate sin, and there should be this battle with the two. This battle with the two. Why is that a good thing? Look at the second half of verse 17. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that please you. Left to ourselves, we would choose sinful desires that please us. But who is the one stopping us? The Holy Spirit. Who is the one working good in us? The Holy Spirit. There's nothing good in me except for the Holy Spirit working in me and through me. I want you to go to Romans 7. Go to Romans 7. Paul explains this battle in his own life. It's really cool to get this insight into the mind of Paul, because you're like, wow, Paul, he's so holy. He's an apostle. He probably like sat around and prayed 75% of the day, and the other 25% he shared the gospel with people. Well, Paul lets you into his life. He gives you a glimpse. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a flesh sold into bondage to sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. He's talking about since he came to know the Lord. There are times in my life I am doing the wrong thing. I am choosing sin. Verse 16, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh, for the willing is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin dwells in me. What a conundrum. What a battle. Do you, Christian, feel this battle in your own life? Or are you just laying down and giving in to the sin? Or are you running after the sin? This is what the battle should look like. Verse 21, I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. Now, Christian, we should take heed to this, right? If David had been thinking about this very thing when he walked out on that rooftop, he would have guarded his heart and he would have guarded his eyes before he even saw Bathsheba, would he not? In a moment, he became an adulterer and a murderer, just like that. And he's a man after God's own heart. Look, take heed lest you fall. Even Christians are capable of terrible things, and we know that Jesus forgives that, but the consequences, oh, the consequences sometimes are lifelong, lifelong. So I have to understand that I'm not as capable as I think I am. I'm not as immune to sin as I think I am. And my parents have put up safeguards for me, and I'm like, oh, come on. And I want to blow by them. Instead, I should be saying thank you. Thank you for protecting me. Thank you for helping me. For some of you, if your parents gave you a phone with carte blanche, it would not be good. So maybe that's why you don't have that phone, or maybe that's why they put up those protections and stuff like that. Verse 22, for I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man, but I see a different law of the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Oh, this is the good news. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then on the one hand, I myself with my mind am serving the law of God, but on the other, my flesh, the law of sin. And it is Jesus who forgives me, and it is the Holy Spirit that empowers me. And I need to be aware of this reality, that there is a battle going on. So now we get to our premise. It reinforces the premise. And a premise is a proposition helping to support a conclusion. So look at verse 18, going back to Galatians 5. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not what? Under the law. And under is like owned. The law is your master. You are oppressed and you are guided by the law. And what have the Judaizers been saying this whole time? You need to keep the law. You need to follow the law. And he's saying, look, no. If we have the Spirit, we're no longer under the law. And the Spirit is the one that guides us. He guides us. Well, let's look now. This is our last outline point. A list that reveals a position. A list that reveals a position. And here we have verse 19. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident. We know what evident means, right? It's obvious. They're clear. Why are the deeds of the flesh evident? Is there any country in the world that you can pop in and just start stealing stuff? Is there any country where you can go in and murder people however you want? Does anyone think lying is a good thing? No, because God in Romans 1 wrote on our heart the knowledge of good and evil. The base level of do and the base level of don't is ingrained in us. And as sinners, we take that truth and we suppress it, but the deeds of the flesh are evident. And this is where we get a list. This is where we get a list. He's going to go on, he's going to write through all of them. And we don't have time, I wish we did, to walk through all of this list. But we need to consider ourselves as a tree, all right? So there's a tree. Is this a peach tree? Randy Stewart, you got an idea? I don't know. It's a tree and there's fruit coming off it. So Google gave me a picture. All right, so we're going to roll with it. Maybe it's mangoes. I don't think it's watermelons. I don't think those grow on trees. But if you're an unbeliever, the fruit growing off of you is the gross, yucky kind. It has maggots and worms and all sorts of stuff like that. Here's the list. Immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these. Wow. It's a long list. We call these the deeds of the flesh. The deeds of the flesh. And when we sin, we say, oh, I'm so sorry, I got frustrated. I don't see frustrated on here. I don't. You know what? I just kind of really wanted her stuff. Oh, you were jealous. You were jealous. You know what? My parents said something and I didn't quite react how I should have. Oh, you had an outburst of anger, did you? But we don't want to call it this because this sounds bad. We want to water it down and make ourselves feel better. But look at this list. This is, when it comes to the process of biblical change, this is the bad stuff that we want to throw aside. We want to throw this stuff aside. This should not be us Christians. But is this you? Is this how you walk? Is this what you practice? Is this what you love? If that's you, you need to understand your position. He says, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't get in. You don't get in. God is very clear, and I don't want you to fool yourself. I want you to understand what's being communicated here. If that is our life, if that is the kind of fruit that we habitually grow and display and produce, then we are not in Christ. We are not in Christ. What's our application from this passage? First of all, I would encourage you to do what it takes to be filled by the Spirit. And you're like, but what is that? Come on, you know what it is, right? We talk about the essentials. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. Your word I have treasured in my heart so that I may not sin against thee. And remember that whole thing when I said, has anyone ever given you advice and you've ignored it? How many times have we told you to open up your Bible and read it? How many times have we told you that Bible study is crucial and you still don't read? You still don't read. And why do you not read? Because for some of you, it's because you don't love Jesus. If I desire to walk by the Spirit, I need to do things that shut out the world and that it produce Christ-likeness in me. If I read his word, what am I thinking about? If I meditate on it, and I see his goodness, and I see his commands, and I see his faithfulness. The word isn't just a magic thing that you rub on you. You read it, and you study it, and you meditate on it. And then you pray, God, help me put off the deeds of the flesh in my life. When I go there today and I talk with these people, I'm going to be so tempted to be jealous and to be envious of them. Keep that sin far from me. Instead, give me contentment. Give me joy, God. Fellowship with other believers. Worshiping. Serving. Sharing the gospel. It's not rocket science, but over and over again. We tell you these things, but you do it. Are you praying at all? Do you only read because your mom and dad make you read? It's not good. Because then we go out to battle, and we haven't put our armor on, and we haven't sharpened our sword, and we haven't eaten our food, and we get slaughtered. We get mowed down, and we say, I don't know what happened. You need to do what it takes to be filled by the Spirit. You do what it takes. Secondly, set yourself against the deeds of the flesh. Set yourselves against the deeds of the flesh. You know, in the last few years, there's been a trend for environmental protesters to do radical things to further their cause. And I don't know if you've ever seen those clips where they'll like glue themselves to the road. They are so against cars and gas and air pollution that they'll like glue themselves or chain themselves to the road. They are set against that. And I know a little bit of you is cheering for the car, okay? But I'm not going to get into that. That's what it should look like with our sin. Sin, I don't like you. And I want you gone. And if I give in to you, I'm going to ask God to forgive me. And I'm going to get back up. And I'm going to take whatever steps it takes. Because I'm against you, sin. I am against you, lust. I am against you, envy. I am against you, lying. I am against you, cheating. Some of you aren't against any of that. It's who you are. You need Christ. And then lastly, I want to evaluate your profession and assess if you want to walk by the Spirit. Do you want this? Do you want it? And I find that we are more inclined to do stuff that we want to do. Pretty natural, right? But if you don't want it, you don't love Jesus, and you're not going to do it. So you need to think of your heart. Are you in Christ? And we're going to keep going with this. On Sunday, we're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to talk about how we produce good fruit as Jesus' followers. Let's pray. Lord God, these are beautiful verses. And I'm reminded about how patient you are with us. How kind you are. How forgiving you are. And I pray, Lord, that we would not take your kindness as a sign of weakness. I pray that we would not take your forgiveness and your patience as a license to continue into sin. May we heed the warning that Paul has given, and may we live the life that you desire, walking by the Spirit. We love you, Lord. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.